Monday. A winning streak, 3 in a row for the Commanders. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. We are pumped up right now to go to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app. Visit BetQL.com. And welcome onto the show, the aforementioned Luke McCaffrey, who made that catch there. Of course, he had the huge 40-yard catch and run on a fourth down in Cincinnati. And he joins us. Ah, I think we just lost Luke. We'll get to him in just 1 second on G&D. But how about the big catch yesterday as we welcome Danny in studio? He missed our first hour, but he is here now. And a Washington win, Danny, just like we drew it up.
Yeah, this is, I believe our own Ryan Clary said, the greatest show on earth. So I think we are right there. Of course, I heard that. It was unbelievable. Stuck in traffic. I'm going to do this throughout the show, but huge apologies. I was wrong. I couldn't have been more wrong about so many different things. They are so much better than I thought they would be. What a blast.
Luke is on the line with us right now. So first of all, Luke, congrats on a hot start.
Yeah, man.
And a job well done. Thanks for a few minutes.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. This is awesome.
Well, we're fired up to have you on the show. Just to take a few minutes out of your day from just scoring points and kicking ass.
You got to be so tired from doing that.
This offense cannot be stopped. Tress Way is barely on the team. One punt in 3 weeks. What do you make of how well you guys have moved the ball?
No, this has been awesome. I mean, I think it's a lot of guys doing what you're supposed to do and getting their job done. You know, I think the special plays come when they present themselves, and then it's a lot of just operating. And I think everyone can attest to this, but I think it's a lot of guys just having fun out there, playing free, playing fast, and enjoying it. I can't wait to bring it back to the DMV and play at home this week.
So was there a point in time, maybe, Luke, going back maybe a month or two ago, where you go, I think this offense could be pretty good. Like go back to that point versus right now, because this is better than – you know, pudgy rubes like myself ever thought. I mean, you guys are scoring 40 a week, and as Grant said, you hate punting so much you just never do it. When did you get a good feeling like, you know what, I actually think this offense could be pretty special?
Yeah, holy cow. I mean, I don't know exactly how to describe it, but, you know, I think I came here as a rookie and just thought, oh, it's the NFL, everybody's better, right? And so I don't know if I ever noticed that we were doing, you know, stuff right. I just assumed that, you know, when you're playing at this high of a level and when you're playing in the NFL, things operate according to plan and you get your job done just like everybody has. And so I think it's been so cool to see just the way that guys come out and compete with intention every single week and every single rep in practice. And I think that goes a long way. Hopefully we can use that to keep growing, right, to keep getting better, because you want to peak at the right times in the NFL. And it's great to have momentum now, but hopefully we can build on this and grow.
Has Jaden Daniels done anything that's really surprised you to this point?
I'm not sure. You know, playing with him, I think he's been pretty on it since the jump. I think what's so cool, too, though, is to watch how he's gotten comfortable, how he's gained confidence, and how he's grown, even just being with him in this short period of time from OTAs to, what are we, week 5 now? And so I think it's just been cool to be able to go along with this journey of his.
You were a quarterback in college. You know, a lot of guys, I'm sure, in the league played quarterback in high school or whatever, but you're more a quarterback than most dudes are. And so I'd imagine your perspective of just the grasp of the offense and what every receiver's doing, you probably see it through a little bit of that QB lens still. I mean, what do you make of just overall how he's performed and the efficiency with which receivers are getting open and he's moving the chains? You guys have more scoring drives than he's had in completions through a month now.
Yeah, you know, I think I played quarterback for a long time, but we have a lot of smart cats on our team, right? We have a lot of receivers, a lot of running backs, a lot of tight ends, and even O-linemen who really understand and love the game of football. And I think that goes a long way to where, you know, it builds a cohesiveness that we all kind of get to play together. We get to play at a high level, and we get to, you know, be on the same page. And so I think that's all played into it, just being able to learn Cliff's scheme, being able to see how he dices it up. And I think he's done such a great job through these first couple weeks as well. And then, you know, when you have a quarterback that can mesh and create chemistry with a coordinator and the rest of the team, you know, I think it's cool because a lot of weapons can attack a defense, you know, whether it's, you know, one player one game or another player another game. There's always another option if a team decides to, you know, dedicate themselves to take away a player. And that's been a lot of fun to just see how many guys we have that can hurt other teams.
Luke McCaffrey with us here on Grant and Danny. How much more comfortable do you feel now than your first day on campus? You know what I mean? Of being a pro for that first rookie minicamp. Like, how much more confident, comfortable in doing things are you right now?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. You know, I think it's so cool to see how this coaching staff has been able to just really take in the young guys. We have a really young team in general, and I think just the confidence that they bring and the ability to attack every rep and then learn from every rep has been awesome. And so I think they instilled that confidence so early that it's just been a process of getting better and learning. And you know, I think we've all, myself most definitely, have gotten better since day one, but it's the it's the confidence that they instilled early that allowed us to go out there and take risks and make mistakes and do whatever we can to help grow and learn from those.
Luke, I haven't seen the updated numbers since this game, but you went into this game in the top five in the NFL and average, you know, separation score, basically, like how far you get detached from whoever's covering you. What do you make of, A, that stat? Is that something you track at all? Like, what do you care about as a receiver? But, B, just kind of the way things have gone for you, because you've been involved from time to time. You got seven grabs in these four games. You had the big 40-yarder on fourth and two against the Bengals, but you're also open a ton. When I go back and watch the last few games, I mean, you just stay open.
Yeah, well, thank you. You know, I think receiver is such a fun position because – it's a little bit of an art form, right? It's a little bit of if you've ever seen Yellowstone, it's a little bit like cowboying, right? It's something that, you know, your best plays aren't always going to be the ones that are your highlights. Sometimes your worst plays end up being your highlights just because you're covered and you make a great catch. But what I think is so cool is how we've been able to open the offense up altogether, right? We've been able to get so many guys open at different times, and it's just a matter of, you know, when and where, depending on who clicks, right? It's so cool to be a part of a team that has such great depth, such great character, and then a lot of unselfish guys. You know, I think it's so cool. Just especially, you know, I think one great example is Terry of, you know, he hadn't gotten a ton of touches, and then you watch him in that Bengals game just show why he is so special, right? And it's stuff that we've all known and we've never questioned ever because we see him every day at practice and we saw him through fall camp. And then, you know, you get to see that shine at different moments. And it's so cool to be a part of an offense where you can genuinely be so happy and joyful for other people. And that innates to success, right, in the long term. And we're going to go out there and compete and battle every single rep.
All right, putting you on the spot. All of your teammates, who's the John Dutton? Who's the Rip Wheeler, and who's the Casey Dutton?
Holy cow. That's a good question right there. John Dutton, I'm going to go with I feel like you got to go coaches right there. That's DQ. You said John Dutton, Casey. Casey, I might go with Colson Yankoff. He's my roommate. He's a good
Love
buddy.
It.
He's got the mustache. He's from Idaho. He fits into that entire you know, enigma. And then, you know, you look at, I'm going all rookies here.
So I love
apologies.
It.
I probably forgot a bet, but I'm going with T.O. Tyler Owens for my Rip Wheeler. I think he goes out there and just hits people, right? He's just a force to be reckoned with. And I think when you go out there and if you watch special teams at all, holy cow, he's putting somebody on the ground every single play. He's hitting people just to hit people. And he's setting the tone for us, which is pretty cool.
If you want to fight somebody, fight me. That was awesome.
That was a difficult question to answer on the fly, and it was like he prepared the answer last night.
I love it. Serious one, though, football-wise. Here's something I always kind of wonder as a receiver. Like, your responsibility on any given play, let's say it's a pass route, right? So you run your route. You've got a guy like Jaden Daniels who is going to extend so many plays. Sometimes it's a run that he takes on. Sometimes he's buying some time for you to kind of get back open. What's kind of go through that internal clock in your head versus kind of also reading things where you go, okay, this one's probably time for me to block, or this is time for me to keep plastering and find some space for him. I'd love you to go through that process for a guy that's so athletic.
Yeah, I think if you go back to fall camp and anybody who's been around our program just appreciates the smartness and the genius of Cliff, right? We've been working on scramble drills since OTAs, and that's something that not a lot of teams do, not a lot of teams I've been a part of at least, have really emphasized. And so when it comes to that, you're always ready and you always have a plan, right? So where obviously you're going to have to improvise, you're going to have to make plays, and you're going to have to, you know, react to whatever's in front of you. But it's been so cool to work on that, to take that as part of our offense, just knowing, hey, we're going to get some looks where they're in drop eight, right? We're going to get some looks where there's a three-man rush. and maybe our concept's not going to work because they got, you know, a whole bunch of guys out there in coverage, but how can we still make that a play, right? How can we still create that into an explosive? And then, you know, especially in the red zone, you see so many off target touchdowns and successful plays that I think that's such a vital part of, you know, the whole entire game of football now, no matter who you are, even if you're not necessarily an athletic quarterback like Jaden is. But I think it's been so cool to work on that and to put that as a piece of emphasis.
Couple of part question for you, and Luke McCaffrey's with us on Grant and Danny's off to a tremendous start as a third-round pick here in Washington, helping out this passing attack, 17-yard catch and run, acrobatic, athletic play, middle of the field to set up a touchdown yesterday. On Cliff Kingsbury, who you just referenced, number one, did you guys get a sense at all that that was big for him to go back to Arizona, or did you just assume it? I saw the reaction in the locker room. He downplayed it all week. And then second, what is it about him or his design that is so unique and so successful? Because there have been a lot of questions about him, but I kind of love the formations, and he had four guys stacked up in like a quad look with three tight ends and B-Rob for a screen. Like, there's just so many different things he's doing that I don't really see a lot.
Yeah, I think for starters, you know, you asked about him going back to Arizona, and that's probably something that's assumed. And I think we've built a brotherhood on this team, which is really cool that, you know, we ride or die in the good times and the bad times. You know, we know that we're the group that fights together, and it's really cool to see, you know, every single person on this team and in this organization have success. And that was just a cool marker for him. And then, you know, when you look at his scheme and the different movements, you know, there's so many elements that defenses have to keep accountable, whether it's, you know, the power run game, whether it's getting outside zone, whether it's a zone read. And then, you know, in the pass game, he just builds up a lot of really good man beaters, and then, you know, always has an answer for zone. And so it's been hard to, you know, we haven't seen a lot of teams run man against us, especially, you know, you saw Terry have a couple deep shots, and that opens a lot of things up and just allows the scheme to play into itself. And I think all of that, whether it's mixing personnels, whether it's creating matchups, is something that Cliff does really well in combination with building tempo and building a sense of urgency for the offense to where you always feel like you're attacking, right? And that's something that we always emphasize as an offense. And it's been really fun to get into that and to grow. And hopefully, you know, I think we can continue to grow and get better as we go throughout the season.
Is the lack of man, do you think that's because of Jaden's running ability and not basically wanting to have to turn your back to him?
Yeah, there's a lot of factors. I think that plays into it. I think, you know, having a couple of receivers that can win versus man goes into it. I think, you know, our screen game and our run game goes into it. And then also, you know, the NFL is a majority zone scheme league right now. And I think that plays into it. It's just not a lot of people's bread and butter. And so it kind of plays into all of those.
Luke, I'm just a dude that loves watching football, and watching you guys win has been awesome. I think, and this is my unprofessional opinion, I feel like you're a really good blocker. Do you agree with my assessment? And B, if I'm wrong, what am I missing?
Thank you. Yeah, you know, I think that's something we've emphasized all year. Again, going back to OTAs, is being able to block, being able to get in open space, and I think that was one of the things switching from quarterback that was the biggest, you know, hurdles of trying to learn how to do that. And I think I had a lot of help from, you know, all our coaches here on staff, and then from my dad, who was a great blocker back when he was playing. And so it's been cool to just learn from all these people's experience and to kind of become somebody who takes pride in blocking. I think I'm not as good as I hope that I can be, you know, one day, but I think I've taken a lot of steps, which has been cool and fun.
Last one for me. You mentioned your pops. I loved him as a player.
He was pretty good.
Right when I was like coming in, I'm in my 30s, but when I was like becoming a huge NFL fan, he was just putting up 1,000-yard seasons in that awesome Denver team. And then when I hear the stories about him telling you like not to wear jeans on Friday night because it'll make your legs tired, or getting you IVs, getting you out of class, like I'm just like all in on this guy. He is a Commander's mark right now. He's like posting the standings. He's getting all in. I'm following him on Twitter now. I guess he's got two favorite teams, right? Because he's got a multitask with your brother in San Francisco. But Ed McCaffrey, Commanders fan. Let's go.
I know. Somebody gave him a Twitter, and we haven't been able to get him to stop typing ever since. I think he's put out probably more tweets than anyone in the country. But no, I love it. His Twitter is actually awesome, and I think it's cool to show his personality a little bit. You know, he was always a very stoic player, and I think now that he gets to do a couple things, whether it's Twitter or the radio, he gets to show the personality that we all know him as, and it's a lot of fun to just see him joking around, him having a blast, and then, you know, obviously when you win games, it makes it even more fun and exciting.
You mentioned personality before we let you go. A couple of frivolous things that do not matter here, Luke. You've got you're young, you have a metabolism, must be a lot of fun. Your cheat meal, right? No one's going to judge you. There's no weigh in coming up. You're going to eat whatever you want and then just sort of lounge afterwards. Give me the meal.
Yeah, my cheat meal. I'm going to Texas Roadhouse. I'm getting the Outlaw ribeye. And I'm
very specific ribeye, by the way.
I love that answer.
Texas Roadhouse, do they still do the really good bread?
Yep, you know it.
That's a great item.
What are your sides there with your ribeye? You're not even worried about that.
Oh, I get fries. Yeah, fries, and then if I have the time, I'll go to Chili's and get one of those chocolate molten lava cakes.
My God. Dude. My God.
Oh, my God.
One of us is one of us.
The Chili's chocolate lava cake, no exaggeration, is my favorite dessert. Like, I will seek that
best.
Out.
Yeah, it's always been mine. We would go there for birthdays, for holidays, for everything growing up, and so that's a special one to me.
The scooped ice cream is like a frozen brick, basically, that they just drop on there.
Yep.
Oh, it's so good. Are you watching anything right now, or is Yellowstone, like, rewatched over and over again for you?
I rewatch Yellowstone a lot. I just watched Better Call Saul.
So good.
What else? I restarted Stranger Things just because it's a good show. So kind of in between a lot right now.
You pop on that All 22, you'll see a lot of yards and a lot of points from the local football operation. You can watch that all day long like the rest of us will be. This has been a blast in town, man. People have been waiting to just see a fun offense for a long time, and you guys are delivering the goods. Thanks for 3 straight wins. We appreciate it.
Congrats, buddy.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. It's great hearing the support. Can't wait to see everybody at home this week.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Back at home for the Cleveland Browns. That's Luke McCaffrey on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Yeah. Ladies, audience loved that one, rightly so.
And how could they not?
He's like, I'm going to Texas Roadhouse, and I'm going to get a ribeye.
Texas Roadhouse.
He gets it.
Oh, by the
way. He knows who he's talking to.
All right. So Danny has not really gotten to give many of his thoughts yet. He's a late arriver today, so we will get to the bottom of some of your takeaways, game balls, and gassers from the game. We do have Jay Gruden at 5 o'clock. Next, I want to chop up, how real is this? How much are you allowing yourself to fully buy in and invest in what's happening? Or is this just a fun calendar week where twice over 6 days, the Commanders put on a couple shows? You're listening to Grant and Danny. Child's play. Give them the football, they get 7 points. That's what happens with the Washington offense. Thanks for Luke McCaffrey's time. He just stopped by on Grant and Danny. The Commanders obviously have a bright future. It is time for you to plan yours as well. The exclusive sponsor of our show will help. The law firm, Condori and Murad, will help you update your last will and testament, set up a trust for you and your family, schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys by visiting kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Danny, I think what's so amazing to me is that on a day where they didn't have arguably their best offensive player outside of the quarterback position this season in Austin Ekeler, and we all said they're going to miss him a bunch, they plug in a guy who was on his 12th contract in the NFL with a team, and Jeremy McNichols, and he went ham. We've talked all offseason about the wide receiver position. Do they have enough talent? Do they have enough weapons? Alameda Zacchaeus went crazy yesterday. They had receivers open all day long. This is not a slight to Jaden Daniels, who was efficient and effective and tremendous. Again, made all the right decisions, was awesome. Every way that he could be, he was phenomenal. But having gone back and watched every throw, there were four throws he made where a defender was within a couple of yards of a receiver. There were two throws that I would consider to be in coverage all game. What they're doing with this group of talent with Cliff Kingsbury right now is astounding.
Yeah, they were right and I was wrong. I posted as much at Funny Danny at Humor Standing on Instagram. All offseason, I kind of looked at both the offensive line, really specifically the tackle spot, and wide receivers, and I go, this is an unforced error. They needed to do more here to support Jaden Daniels most specifically. I thought what would happen is they might win some games, but it would have to be, you know, Daniels scramble left, Daniels scramble right, Daniels hero ball, and you eke out a couple of wins in the first half of the season as everybody gets their feet wet and you're running in a high risk there. I was wrong about all of that. They're averaging 40 points a game the last two games over the span of a week. 7 days, they put up 38 and 42 points. Arizona walked down the field on their opening drive. It was really impressive, actually. Opening script, converted to fourth down. Beautiful throw and catch in the corner of the end zone to Marvin Harrison. I go, okay, buckle up. Here we go. It's a shootout, right? Let's go. Let's go play. Let's go see what happens. No, it wasn't. They outscored Arizona from there 42-7. When they got the ball back, it was 42-7 over the next 55 minutes. What? What in the hell is this? What organization is this? What team is this? I have no idea where this goes, and I don't care. They are so much better than I thought they would be. This is so much more fun than I could have ever imagined. I mean, I love Jaden Daniels. I wanted Jaden Daniels. I'm glad they drafted him, right? But I'm going, you know, there still will be at some point, some hurdles, some setbacks, some adversity. You get punched in the nose. Somebody figures out what you want to do, takes this away, whatever, right? We know some bad stuff is happening. It's sports. It's the league. But it ain't happening right now. What an unbelievably fun, relaxing. I was not stressed for a single second watching the game on Sunday. There's no here we go again. There's no other shoe dropping. Sideline laughter and jocularity as they taxed that ass out there in Arizona and their fans booed. Not my fans. Not the fans of this team that are booing for investigations and impropriety or because Dan Snyder's wife was on the Jumbotron. No, no, no. Opposing fans getting woodshedded. They booed. What an unbelievably fun time.
They're just doing so many really good football team things. Like not committing any penalties for three quarters. Again, they did not commit an offensive penalty that put them behind the sticks for three plus quarters. How is that possible?
I don't know.
For two straight games? But at some point, you just become the thing that you keep doing, right? I mean, they are running the ball well. Now, that was the one thing I think we all kind of assumed would be a strength this year. Because when you have a quarterback like Jaden Daniels who can run and who scares defenses and keeps them up at night, we saw this in 2012. You've seen it with the Ravens for many, many years with Lamar Jackson. It doesn't matter if it's Gus Edwards or Justice Hill or name some random running back. They're going to go out and they're going to have a ton of success because you're defending an 11-on-11. You got to be honest to the quarterback. You got to play those read option looks. They were going to run the ball well. But this has been a renaissance of sorts for Brian Robinson. Who had a buck yesterday. Eckler looks like he shot out of a cannon every time he touches the ball. He's hurt, doesn't play yesterday. Jeremy McNichols averaged 8.5 yards per carry. And it wasn't like three carries either. He had 8 carries for 70 yards, Danny. He had a 27-yard touchdown, ripped off a couple 15-plussers. Jeremy McNichols.
You mean LaDainian Tomlinson?
Right. I mean, I just, it's amazing what they are doing right now.
And Cliff Kingsbury, take a bow, dude. I don't know if you caught this on the telecast, but you remember the play where there's a little bit of misdirection, a lot of window dressing, and Daniels just flips it out in the flat to Zacchaeus, who's just jogging in the park.
He lined up in the backfield, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of these kind of things. Zacchaeus is in the backfield. They make everything look like it's going to the top of the screen left. And then they come back to him on a swing pass to the right bottom of the screen if you're watching at home.
Uh-huh.
And he had nothing but real estate in front of him.
He's like, I guess I'll just keep going really far down the field. And
it's one of those things where he caught it. You don't see anyone in the frame. And then the camera pans and there's still no one.
Still nobody.
And it pans again and there's still no one.
You're still like, no one.
Where is this team?
Someone should defend this. Yeah. And it cut to Kingsbury on the sideline. And he's got that sort of, I'm on the runway. Walk with a smirk on his face. You know what I mean? Where it's just like, I'm on such a different level than you guys trying to catch me right now. Maybe somebody does. Maybe somebody figures it out. In the years past, people have, right? The second half Arizona offense is way worse than the first half. And I'm not sitting here to rain on the parade. I'm telling you, nobody's figured it out yet.
No.
He's calling steps ahead. At this point, right, where we know what look you're looking for, and we're not only we're going to give it to you, but then we're going to change direction, and you have no idea where the next shot's coming from.
I think what
people
would
are clueless.
Scare me is if I'm the other teams on their schedule. This is pretty sustainable, not like all of the things going their way, where you know Zacchaeus basically falls down, maybe a foot shy of the sticks. They call it a first down. The Cardinals don't throw a challenge flag, or you know, did you think that should have been a pass interference on the deep shot to Noah Brown?
So, contact's made.
Definitely.
I wouldn't have said pass interference. I would have said illegal contact.
You can't if the ball's in the air.
Well, to me, like you can't touch the person. Like, when the ball's in the air, you can't do that.
I agree. I think what happens 90% of the time there is the refs get together and they say uncatchable, essentially. Like, that ball was not being caught. He threw it to the back of the letters in the end zone, and the contact was like at the... I think they marked the ball at almost the 10. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like... Having said that, whatever. It was a 55-yard play. It was beautiful. Like, so many of these things just don't normally happen for them. They don't get that call. They aren't first and goal from the 10. Then on the ensuing drive after that touchdown to take now a 17-point lead, two of the first three plays the Cardinals ran were for 10-plus yards, and they got penalties on holding calls that came back.
Mm-hmm.
It's just happening in a way that never does for Washington, it feels like. But it's almost like when you're a good team and you're playing from in front, good things happen, and we're just not used to being that team either.
No, it always usually comes down to if this call goes against us, it's over.
Totally.
Right? And that's not the case.
I still have questions. Like, I don't know if Austin Seibert is any good yet or not. I know he's made all of his kicks. He has not kicked a field goal longer than 45. Every time they would kick a 52 or 53 or 54-yarder,
they're just busy getting a first down.
They just get another first down.
Yeah.
So at some point, I'd like to figure out if they have a good kicker or not that they can count on when they need a big kick later in the season beyond 50 yards. I'll wait until we figure that one out. There are some other questions. Like, I don't know if this is a team that can play from behind the way that they do it, where everything's predicated on running the football, where Daniel's keeping, you know, a lot of it's off play action. And it reminds me of, like, the Ravens at one point in time,
uh-huh.
where we talked about if you're down 10, 12, 13, nobody really comes back from that at a high rate. But if you are able to jump out 21-7, let's say, somehow, some way, I don't know how you would ever do that against this Commanders team. Because it would mean you stopped them at least twice, and no one's doing that. But if you were up by two touchdowns, like, what does that look like? There's still things they've got to answer. But the way they run the ball, the way they protect the football, the way they scheme guys open, as accurate as Daniels is, as composed as he seems to be, a lot of that probably isn't going away. Will defenses make adjustments to them? Of course. That's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
They're figuring this thing out, or not, as the case is, on the fly. And when they do, Daniels and Cliffy are going to have to make an adjustment. But right now, they're one step ahead of everything that the defensive coordinators are doing.
There is no answer to it in this moment. And what they're content to do is, you start against Cincinnati where, you know, I usually bristle and I can't stand just knee-jerk people that yell about establishing the run. Because there's always has to be a means to an end. There's no one way to run an offense. You could throw it a million times. You could run it a million times. If you're effective, that's all really that matters. But they are content to continue to thump to make you cover it. That's really what I'm seeing from this offense more than anything else, is you have to respect blank. So when you add up a number of things that you have to respect, you got to respect Robinson. Well, you got to respect Daniels if he keeps it. Well, then you got to respect, you know, this short pass.
Right.
Well, if you don't do that, then you got to respect Ertz over the middle. If you respect those four things, then you've got to worry about some of the misdirection and some of the jet action. Well, if you don't respect all those things, you got to respect McLaurin deep, and you're now out of respect. Now you're going to get hit by something. And they're always figuring out what hole in the dam you're plugging, and they're going in a different direction, and they're going to something else. And even if they aren't, it's to set up the time that they will. This is a clinic in offense. It's not just hurry-up passing where they're throwing for 500 yards, greatest show on turf style, and you know you can't stop anybody. This is thumping people, scoring 40 points a game. It's unbelievably awesome.
Speaking of greatest show on turf, I've got an idea for what they could name this offense.
Yeah, well, let's brainstorm. What are some ideas?
I'll go with some alliteration.
Go.
Greatest show on earth.
Greatest show on earth. Alliteration.
We do need to do a segment tomorrow. Book it. I want this tomorrow. We're naming this offense.
Oh.
I know you're going to be mad about that. It's going to be too cute for you. We're going to name Cliff Kingsbury's offense.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. They never punt.
No.
They deserve it.
Puntless.
I have another idea. When Luke McCaffrey catches a touchdown, we should do a lunch on the show the next day on a Victory Monday, hopefully, where we do a ribeye from Texas Roadhouse.
Yeah.
And we do chocolate lava cakes from Chili's. I don't know how we transport those to the studio, but we should just call it the McCaffrey. And we should
go full McCaffrey.
Full McCaffrey every time he scores.
Okay. So win Luke Tutty, and then we get ribeyes. Well,
yes.
And chocolate lava cakes.
I think so.
Yeah. I mean,
that sounds great.
Yeah, okay.
Why not? Ready?
Oh no, break. I don't want to do that. Yes, let's do that.
The Commanders have the most envied offense in the National Football League. It is fun to be a fan of this team again. Dare I say they're a must-watch right now when they've got the football.
Yeah, NBA League Pass style, except it's the league, you know?
Yeah.
But they are.
Grant and Danny with you on The Fan. We will sneak in a double play in a few moments. Grant and Danny welcoming you back on The Fan. After B-Rob went for 100, Jaden Daniels threw for 230, a touchdown, overcame an interception. Alamide Zaccheaus led all Washington receivers with 85 yards on 6 catches. Terry McLaurin had a yeoman's, very McLaurin-esque effort. 7 catches for 52 yards, long of 15. A lot of stuff underneath, but he had a big touchdown back in the end zone as well.
Which was sweet, too, man. That was really, really awesome. And lost in all this, again, as we talk about receiving totals, the offensive line blocking things up way better than I thought. Brandon Coleman holding up.
50% snap count, just about. There were 72 total snaps for the offense. Cornelius Lucas played 37 at left tackle. Brandon Coleman played 35, and Coleman was awesome.
I thought really, really good. You saw that slightly slower developing, right? Usually around the goal line, that terrifies me, right? Where it's either someone comes loose for a pass rush or there's a potential negative play, but that was totally fine. Allow him to survey. McLaurin in breaking route, catches right in the back of the end zone. That was awesome.
Let's go to the phones and talk to Alex in Leesburg, who's been waiting on G&D. What's up, Alex?
Hey, what's up, guys? I think it's actually real, man. I was talking to my buddy the other day, yesterday, about the comparison between RG and Jaden. It's not the same. Jaden's 6'4". I think people don't realize how tall that dude is. And he's so fast that the difference between him and a lot of the mobile quarterbacks that you see in the league is he can see over the line. And he doesn't use his legs strictly. It's awesome, man. I think it's real. And then one thing, the defense yesterday was putting hats on people. I saw one of the plays where they ran out right, and you saw Forbes get in there and stick pretty good and create a tackle for loss. So, yeah, I'm excited, man. I think this is real. I'm very skeptical because this franchise has abused me for years. I'm 46, so I've seen the...
You're afraid to come out from under the bed, you know? There could be someone lurking out there. Thank you for the call. Now, on Daniels, a couple of things. So, number one, comparing him to Griffin, I don't even think is really fair or good idea at this point. I think he is really far ahead of where Robert was as a passer. I also think that while that offense that they had was the number one offense that year, Daniels is, I would think, running more than Griffin was. Not on design stuff, though. Like, he scrambles a lot more than Griffin did on throwing downs, on drop back, so to speak, whereas Griffin, Kyle, was designing a lot more. Remember, there was like a 12-carry game where there were like 10 design runs. Washington hasn't gotten anything close to that. But I think he's advanced. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend today like I was Mr. Jaden Daniels. Obviously, I was very skeptical about a few things, and I'm so hopeful that he continues to deliver the goods and he's the guy for a long, long time. But the one thing we talked a lot about on this show was He was a way better prospect than Griffin was. And I'm not trying to beat up on Robert. That's not what this is at all. Griffin was an immensely talented, electric, skill set QB. He was also a number two pick and a Heisman Trophy winner. But when you look at 50 touchdowns, four picks in the SEC last year versus doing something impressive at Baylor and a bunch of Big 12 shootouts, when you look at the accuracy and the numbers down the field and some of those things, Daniels, and this is kind of what we were saying during camp, like, where is the excitement? Where is the juice? Where are the phone calls? Where everyone's like, well, Robert Griffin, this is the best quarterback prospect in terms of skill set they've ever had. Now, whether that works or not, we didn't know, and we still kind of don't, although it looks pretty damn good.
Early returns promising.
Yeah.
I mean, and this week, really, I've heard from so many of my friends. I talk about this all the time. This used to be like the group of guys that no matter what was going on, we got together on Sunday to watch the then Redskins. Not only do we not do that anymore because everyone's busy, everyone's got lives, but I'm the only one that watches the games at all of this group of almost 20 different dudes that I grew up with. Now the texts are starting. Now the emails are going back and forth about how exciting and fun this is. Did you see this with Daniels? Did you see this story? Did you see this comment? It's like it's 25 years ago again. The give-a-damn factor. So I think what was happening, and I still think this is true to a degree, there was a reticence to, just like the caller reference, to put your heart on the line. There was a reticence to believe. How many times have you been, this is the dude, this is the dude, and you and me trying to tell you, hey, this one's different, it's still just waves crashing on the shore.
Yeah.
Fans heard that Sam Howell, that this version of Carson Wentz, or this thing. It was always going to be the thing that fixed it. This is different, and I think people are now kind of, sort of opening up their doors and seeing sunlight for the first time.
They've basically, though, the fan base you're alluding to, has had two opportunities in like 25 years at real legitimate young quarterback answer. And that was Griffin and Cousins, if I'm not misremembering a little bit. Like, I liked Jason Campbell fine, but his ceiling was kind of game managing Jag, so to speak, on a rookie contract. But, the Griffin potential hope as a Heisman Trophy winner, pick second, and then Cousins, which never happens, kind of stumbling into a really good quarterback who your offensive coordinator and coach loved in the fourth round. That's the whole list. So all the other times, while I understand you tried to kick the football and it got pulled out from under you, so to speak, you shouldn't have tried to kick it. You should have saved the good kick for this guy. This is on paper different. This is the Griffin-esque talent and skill set, but right away, and again, I hate going this route because I like Robert a lot as a guy and have gotten to know him over the years and think he's a good human being and root for him now in his next career. But it's so different in terms of the coach being on the same page with the player, the player's family involvement.
Yeah, there's an organizational symmetry. Yeah.
Just the whole thing is different. Like saying all of the things that he does behind the scenes and all of that stuff, it's just good vibes. Everything is positive and moving in the right direction. To your point, by the way, I've gotten three messages, a couple of them on Instagram and one on Twitter, at Grant H. Paulson, from fans since last night on all the platforms saying they had just bought tickets to the Browns game. So I can't wait to see what the stadium's like. I'll be there on Sunday. Let's go to Tony in Long Island. Hey, Tony, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, guys. Pinch yourself. Is this real? Oh, my God.
Ridiculous.
It really is ridiculous. I know we're done with game balls, but I have to give you something, Grant and Danny. I really would love for you guys to start a little segment, an honorary game ball for every win that we get under Jaden Daniels. Please let that game ball go to Greg Zuerlein of the New York Jets. he missed a field goal. People do not realize how hard it is to kick in that stadium from 50-plus yards. He missed yesterday by 30 feet from 50-plus to win the game.
That's so right. True.
Let me clarify real quick for people that forget. So Washington had taken the lead. Jacoby Brissett takes him down the field. This terrible game against a bad Jets team. They're going to beat the Jets. Everyone who was correct and understood that all that matters is draft positioning and picking as high as possible was livid. Fans that wanted to squeak out a victory so they could high-five their buddy then hoped that the defense got a stop. The rest of us hoped like hell the Jets could get into field goal range. They did because Washington played 20 yards off the line of scrimmage for some reason, and then Greg Zuerlein hit a 55-yard field
54 goal. 54-yarder as time expired.
I remember tweeting out his charity that he and his wife run, and I think a bunch of people actually made donations to him. Now, at the time, we had no idea which quarterback. Yeah, we had no idea which quarterback they'd take, and who knows? I mean, they could have picked third, got another quarterback. But the point is, Daniels looks amazing, and they got him at number two.
And listen, and let me say this, guys. This is real. This kid is special in every way. He's the total package. This is exactly what we as football fans, whether you're a Washington fan and any team, this is why we wake up on Sunday mornings. This is why we root for our teams, so we could have a quarterback like this. He's ours. We have the best shiny toy in the neighborhood, and he's now a Washington, whatever you want to call it. We're fighting from the high ground with this guy. You feel it. You know, the Cardinal play calling yesterday, they were on tilt. They felt that they couldn't stop us. And you saw their play calling get insanely weird. They're running shotgun on fourth and one when they're running from 7 yards a carry. Like, you felt
by the way,
team.
Tony, thanks for the call.
Thank you as always, buddy.
Why did the Cardinals stop running the ball? Now, I'm glad they did. Why did they do that? They had two short yardage opportunities where they threw down the field. They could have run for 7 yards. They proved it every time they ran. Did you notice that they just completely stopped running the football before the game got out of hand?
I did. When they were down a couple scores, right?
No, this was even, it was a 14-7 before the half. They're moving down the, you know, it was like, what are you doing? That fourth and one where Kyler Murray had two wide open receivers 4 yards from the line of scrimmage and stared at both of them and then took a terrible sack and Washington got the ball back.
It was
and made
a great sack. It was so good. Great play.
What'd you think of him yesterday?
Yeah, that was not good.
I mean, he looked lost in the pocket.
And he hadn't looked, that was like end of Kingsbury, bad juju sort of Kyler Murray, where everything was a struggle. He'd been playing pretty damn well up
until
this point.
Should we give Cliff credit for that, too, that he went over to Joe Witt's office and told him how to mess with Kyler Murray?
I guess, listen, maybe some emails were exchanged. Maybe a couple, hey, by the way, a couple sticky notes on the defensive plan. Because lost in all this, and we should be talking about the offense and Jaden Daniels until we're blue in the face, but defensively, I quite frankly did not think they had that performance in them.
Yeah.
That was out of nowhere. Again, opening script, opening drive, where Arizona has, to their credit, been spectacular over this season and even in years beyond. From that point, one touchdown allowed at a point in time, it didn't matter.
I'm going to open up the Today Is Not the Day drawer real quick, okay? I'm going to open this drawer up. Here it is. The Today Is Not the Day drawer. Let me see what's in here. Cliff Kingsbury is looking like a pretty damn good head coach.
Whoa!
This is why.
Whoa.
Your boy hates hiring defensive-minded head coaches.
Mm.
Now, today is not the day, but his agent is starting to put together a little list.
He's got a real
little list of teams.
Do you ever close that drawer up?
Okay.
Close that drawer right up.
All right. I'll close it up.
Aww.
By the way, I hope he goes full Ben Johnson. Just tells people while they're on their way, flying out to meet him.
With a super deep voice, not today.
Maybe he just loves Dan Quinn and this culture so much. Jaden Daniels is his Jared Goff, and he just can't quit him. Hopefully, he just stays here. You want one more from the drawer?
Aww.
Couple more wins and Commander's gonna start sticking a little more, Danny.
Damn it, I knew it. People have been chirping me on that one.
Commander Danny.
Never, first of all.
And Grant. Beltway Blitz is next. Jay Gruden at 5 on the Fan.